The Lord wants to bless us and strengthen us, and we need to pass that on to others, because that's His kingdom. And we seek His kingdom first. So you face a situation and you say, now what will the Lord do? How would I process this? What is God's kingdom require of me? What are the triggers, or what are the processes of God's kingdom in this issue of my life? In this case, we're saying that you and I need to be merciful. Merciful.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, November 12, 2023. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, Blessed Are the Merciful. Our text comes to us from Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. And now, here's Pastor Zoni.
We're going through the Beatitudes, and we're getting into the Sermon on the Mount, which is part of the Beatitudes. And I just need to tell you that I have enjoyed it more than you have. What do I mean by that? Well, I get to practice what I preach, and I have found out that the Beatitudes are so extremely powerful for all those areas in my life that need retooling and reshaped. And there's never a day that I go through that I know the Lord is not, you know, just causing me to notice certain things in my life which are none of your business. But anyway, it's a walk of faith, and is the Lord dealing with each one of us. And so today we're looking at verse 7 of chapter 5 of Matthew. And it's a great text, and it's important. So let me just read it. Let's do it all together, shall we? Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. All right, another way of doing it. Well, let's say it again. Blessed are the merciful. And another version of it is simply, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Same thing. When you look at the Beatitudes, you find out that the first four Beatitudes that we've already gone through speaks about the inner part of your life, about inner principles, being poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who are meek, those who hunger after righteousness, that thirst after righteousness. And they are the ones that show us how we appear before God. But then when we go to the last four, and we begin the first one of the last four, they are the manifestations, the picture of those attitudes that come from the first four. Because those who are in poverty of spirit recognize the need of mercy, and they're led to show mercy to others. Those who mourn over their sin, they're led to purity of heart. And those who are meek always seek to make peace. And then those who hunger after righteousness, thirst for righteousness, are never unwilling to pay the price of being persecuted for righteousness' sake. So the idea of mercy, the idea of mercy is seen throughout all of Scripture. From the very beginning of the fall to the end of history, mercy rules. We need God's mercy. Mercy is something that is desperately needed, and is a gift from God. It's provided to you and to me because we're sinners and we need His mercy. But it also tells us that as we have received mercy, you and I are to follow the example of that gift that is given to us and show mercy to others. And that is kind of a tough thing, because we need to look deep inside of our hearts and find out whether we have been merciful. Oops. Well, what is mercy? Well, mercy is meeting people's needs. You're looking at people's needs and meeting those needs whenever possible, of course. but it's meeting needs. It's not simply feeling compassion, but showing compassion. It's not just sympathizing, but giving a helping hand. So what is mercy in practical terms? Mercy is giving food to the hungry. Yes. Comfort those who are bereaved, to the bereaved. How about loving those who are rejected? How about forgiving those who offend you? How about companionship to the lonely? It's the loveliest, most beautiful, noblest virtues of all to have mercy and to show mercy. We're always in such a hurry, aren't we? We're always so rushed. The simplest gift of maybe just talking with someone and or staying a little bit longer. Yesterday in the conference, there was a gentleman who has lost his wife. And he would come to the conferences with his wife. And so he began to talk to me. And there were other people around me that wanted to talk to me. But you know, I stayed with him. See, this is why the Beatitudes really get you. Because they are conduct-driven. And it all of a sudden, it says, are you really operating from God's kingdom's perspective? Are you giving room for God to do this work? And so I stopped everything around me. Not that I'm perfect, but at least I'm trying to practice it. It was just 3 more minutes, maybe 5. And he went home with greater hope and comfort. Just 3 more minutes of showing mercy, caring. One of the greatest virtues that you and I could ever display in our lives. So I'd like to talk a little bit about mercy. I like to compare mercy with forgiveness, for instance. We need to understand what mercy is. And when you make some comparisons, maybe it will dawn on you as to how this can be filtered through your daily routines in life. All of a sudden, the Sermon on the Mount is going to tell you, you got to show it. The first 4 words, something inside of you that you say, well, it's in here, God knows. Now we want to know. Now you need to show it. Mercy has a lot in common with forgiveness, but it's different from forgiveness. Titus 3:5 says, Paul writes about Jesus. He says, tells us that Jesus saved us not on the basis of deeds, which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy. By the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. God's mercy saved you. God had mercy on you. If I could use this, he gave you food. He gave you comfort. He gave you love after you had been rejected. He gave you forgiveness. He gave you companionship. So God's forgiveness of our sins flows from mercy. But mercy is bigger than the forgiveness of sins because God is merciful to you and to me even when we do not sin. God's mercy is upon those who have never done anything against us. God works in such a way that mercy is a constant over your life. Because God's mercy does not just forgive you and me of our sins, but it reaches to all of the areas where we are weak. Being weak is not a sin, it's a condition. When we have needs, God's mercy looks at the totality of your person. Wonderful. And that's why we sing thy loving kindness, which is mercy. It's better than life. Thy loving kindness is better than life. The loving kindness of God engulfs you. It's more than the forgiveness of sins. It is the presence of God making up your wants, your needs. And the scripture says his mercies are new every morning. And that's what we sing, great is thy faithfulness. Think of it. You and I get a chunk of God's mercy in our lives. There ought to be gratitude in our hearts and humbling because we don't deserve it. But I want you to know that, yes, mercy got you saved, but mercy keeps you going. It really does. God's mercy to his children never ceases. Can you say hallelujah for that? Hallelujah. Then there is mercy and there is love. Forgiveness flows out of mercy, and mercy flows out of love. Ephesians 2, 4 through 5. But God, being rich in mercy, being rich in what?
Mercy.
Because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. The mercy of God. Listen. The mercy of God. So mercy is more than forgiveness. And love is more than mercy. And the way which love manifests itself in so many ways is just unbelievable. In ways that forgiveness and mercy blend together. And all of a sudden, you really say, I have a competent God. Because he knows who I am. He remembers that we are dust, and yet his mercy endureth forever. Love loves even when there is no wrong to forgive. That's right. Or need to meet. That's right. The Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father, and yet they've never been with sin, so love is not necessarily explained or manifested when there is sin. No, love is a constant. God is love. God loves the angels, and angels are without sin and without any need, and God loves them. It's wonderful. And when you and I enter heaven, and some of you will be there before I do. Thank you. Who knows? I may be next. When you and I enter heaven, there will be no sin in heaven. And yet God's love will, in comparison, only be the beginning. God's mercy. God's love. What about grace? Well, mercy is also related to grace and flows out of love, just as forgiveness flows out of mercy. In 1 Timothy and in 2 Timothy and in Titus, Paul always writes his epistles, and he says, grace, mercy, and peace. Always uses those words. Grace and mercy have the closest possible relationship, yet they're different. They're different because, brothers and sisters, the true character of mercy is important to understand. It's important to understand because mercy, as is related to you and to me, have to do with pain and misery and distress, with the consequences of sin. Whether they're individual sins or because of a sinful world, all I can tell you is where the problems that come, mercy gives us help. But grace, on the other hand, deals with sin itself. So mercy helps us getting along, but grace deals with the problem. Mercy with the symptoms, but grace with the cause. So there is a difference between the two. Mercy offers relief from punishment, but grace offers pardon for the crime. Mercy eliminates the pain, but grace cures the disease. I'm building up to something. Hang on. Don't go to sleep on me. It's also mercy and justice. Mercy is also related to justice. And yet, how can you have mercy and still judge? They seem to be incompatible. But I want you to know that justice gives exactly what is deserved, and yet mercy gives less punishment and more help that is deserved. It's difficult for some people to understand how God can be both just and merciful at the same time to the same person. Because if God is completely just, then how could he ever not punish sin totally? For him to be merciful would seem to negate his justice. The truth is that God does not show mercy without punishing sin. And for him to offer mercy without punishment would negate his justice. What I'm saying to you is that you and I receive mercy because we have repented from our sins. And that repentance is the platform under which we can experience mercy. But I want you also to know that your sin and my sin were punished. Jesus took the punishment. So if you and I receive mercy, it's not because our sins have been like, well, it never happened. No, our sins happened. But Jesus took our sins. He paid the penalty of our sins. And that is why mercy is available to you and to me. And there is no contradiction. When God sees sin, he punishes sin. But that punishment was put upon Christ and not upon you by the grace of God. So we talk about mercy. We talk about justice. We talk about all these different combinations. And I'm telling you, it's amazing to think about mercy as a way in which you and I are able to experience God's presence in a different way. And we express God's mercy in our lives by giving and showing mercy to others around us. Because the true character of mercy is simply giving. Giving of ourselves. Extending something from ourselves to someone else. Giving forgiveness. Giving compassion. Giving help. Giving time, giving money, giving ourselves to issues that are before us and we're able to do. We see the opportunity to do something good and we do it. Even when those people whom you're going to show mercy may not necessarily square with your own ideas. Even when you think that they don't deserve it, you remember that you did not deserve it. And yet God was merciful to you. We live in an egotistical world today, self-centered society. It's hard sometimes to hear the voice of God telling us to give everything we can give. And yet that is exactly the spirit of Christ. He gave his total life so that we would obtain mercy from God. And there are things in our lives that need to be reset. We who are Christians and have been walked with the Lord, some things are off-centered, and you need to think about mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. There is a reciprocal activity here. And in the Sermon on the Mount, in which we're looking at, it tells us that we, as God's kids in the kingdom, we must show this characteristics, not to get saved, but because we are saved. Mercy means the ability to get on the right side of other people. To understand how they're looking at things in their lives. To think with their minds and to feel with their feelings and say, wow, this person is hurting. This person is hurting. That person is in need. And you go out of your way to see how you can fill that need in that person's life. That's mercy. Maybe you say, well, yeah, I know a lot of people deserve mercy, but I like to give them one, you know. That's not how God works in you. God shows you mercy. and you must show mercy to others. The source of mercy, of course, where does mercy come from? It's a gift of God. It's God working in your life. Is you allowing God's kingdom to be in charge and not yourself? Again, we talk about having your own kingdom and making your own decisions based on what you think you know. And based on a self-centered, egotistical spirit. We no longer say, let it be my will. We say, let it be God's will. And when you say that, you enter into the sphere of God's kingdom, the kingdom that's available to you and to me, but we must seek it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You must seek that. And as you seek that, you will know that mercy is one of those attributes. And you will act with mercy. You will function with mercy in your heart. To be merciful is to care. Is to have an idea that other people matter. And that there's an opportunity for you to help others. It's not just me. It's how can I help you? How can I show you, in terms of another way, how can I show you God's love? How are you showing love? Somebody said that this is a wonderful, marvelous world when we live in the kingdom of God. I'm sure we all are aware of the war. I don't know how many wars we got going now, but the hostilities out there and demons crawling all over the place and demonstrations about this and demonstrations about that. And this guy fighting. Listen, the kingdom of God, when you go to the kingdom of God, it's a safe place to be. Outside the kingdom of God, it's not too safe. You may get shot. But when you live with the principles of God's kingdom, you find out that you are in a perfectly safe place because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lay down in green pastures. He causes my path to be straightened. So what I'm saying, there's something about caring for other people. Blessed are the merciful. When you have mercy in your heart, when you have the intent to help others, and you go out of your way to do so, even when you in your mind know that they may not deserve your care. But that's why it's mercy. James 5:11 says, the Lord is bursting with compassion and full of mercy. The Lord wants to bless us and strengthen us, and we need to pass that on to others because that's his kingdom. And we seek his kingdom first. So you face a situation and you say, now what will the Lord do? How would I process this? What is God's kingdom require of me? What are the triggers or what are the processes of God's kingdom in this issue of my life? In this case, we're saying that you and I need to be merciful. Mercy is only for those through grace and divine power can meet the requirements, the understanding of the Beatitudes. When you look at God's grace, when you see what God can do, you come up with all the things of chapter 5. Well, so you and I need to learn how to live from God's perspective. And God's perspective means to be merciful to those close to me. You don't need to go to Nigeria or to Africa and anywhere. You don't need to go to my home country. You don't need to go to your own home country. You need to show mercy right where you are right now. It's not that you're condemning them because they are lazy. They should not be doing that. You have mercy on them. You go beyond their inabilities. You go beyond their incapacities. You go beyond you go beyond them. And you simply operate from God's kingdom, and you say, this is where mercy and truth come together. That's what James says too. Actually, Psalms. This is where I allow God to give me a heart that feels for others. And I'm going to do what I can for this person without grumbling. I will show that I care. I will show mercy because I have been given mercy. So I'm just getting down to my concluding remarks, and they're found in Mark chapter 10. I think this is one of the greatest examples of mercy. In Mark chapter 10, we find Jesus. Of course we do. And we find Jesus dealing with someone who was blind. And in verse 46 of chapter 10 says, Then they came to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man. That may be a description of your life, my life. Blind. There's a lot more than just being blind physically. You can be blind spiritually. A blind man came. Bartimaeus. Put your name in there. No, don't do that. He was sitting by the roadside, begging. May I suggest that that's the condition of many people today? Maybe they don't know it, but they're begging. They're begging for a better life. They're beggars. And when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout. When he found out that God was coming by, Jesus was coming by, he was smart enough to say, this is bigger than me. And what did he say? Well, he called him Son of David. Well, I'll read it to you. Jesus, Son of David, have what? Mercy. Have mercy. How many want God's mercy today, huh? Yeah. Have mercy. In other words, Lord, you see my life. You see my needs. I don't deserve it, but I need your mercy, Lord. And God overlooks because Christ paid the price. He looks at Christ. Through Christ, he sees you. Christ is the mediator. And so he says, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus blew him off. Jesus said, I have no time for you. I'm on my way to Jericho. Leave me alone. No, that's not what he said. Verse 49 says, Jesus stopped and said, call him. You know, there is a Jesus who's stopping for you this morning. And he's calling you. He said that to his disciples, call him. And so they called to the blind man. He says, hey, cheer up, they said. On your feet, he's calling you. And throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Willing to dispose of his cloak, willing to dispose of all the stuff that caused him to live like a beggar, he got rid of it. Some of us want to come to Christ and not give up an inch. God, you take me, but I'm still going to take my drugs. Oh, Lord, I'm going to come to you, but I still want, you know. Oh, Lord, I want to come to you, but, you know, I like la pachanga. You know, oh, Lord, you know this. And we come to Christ with conditions which are not acceptable. This guy threw his cloak away. The sign of beggar, the possession he had. He threw himself into the presence of Christ. And some of us sometimes need to be that desperate in our lives. You need to know that you don't play games with God. And God doesn't play games with you either. And when you mean it in your heart, with all the limitations you may have, but there is a determination in your heart that you're going to serve God, you're going to get rid of that cloak. Amen. You will no longer identify with the life that you have, because the life that you have has left you blind and begging in the streets of life. And then scripture goes on to say, Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? like if Christ did not know. Of course he knew. But see, God has some, I mean, he's unbelievable. He is so unbelievably wise and smart. I mean, how many know we have a smart God? Somebody said, yeah, he created me. we have such a wise God. When he made us, he gave us the ability to make discernments for ourselves. We're able to approach God. And God has the ability to say, what do you want me to do? Of course God knows what we need. But you need to tell him. Because if you don't tell him, there won't be any buy-in. See, coming to Christ is not a magic trick. It's not. You come to Christ and you need a new life and you say, I need a new life. You don't come to Christ for a magic moment. You don't come to Christ because of any other reason except that you need him to do a change in your life. And you must say, this is my need. And so this man, Bartimaeus, the blind man, said, Rabbi, I want to see. Why did he want to see? Because he was blind. Why do you want to come to Christ? What is your need? He was asking for mercy. And the Lord says, what do you want? He says, I want to see. So obvious, the man was blind. But sometimes we forget that the obvious is the most important thing in our lives. So the Lord says, what do you want? He will show you mercy. He will do things for you that nobody else can do, because he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He came to give you life and life abundantly, but you must state your case. That's what I want. I want to see. I want a new life. Lord, I want a new marriage. Lord, I want to be good parents. Lord, I need my children. Lord, my grandchildren. Lord, my finances. Lord, whatever it may be, I come to you, Lord. This is my need. And that need that you have has caused you to be in the roadside, blind, begging for someone to help you. And all the people will pass by and will see you and throw a coin. And, oh, now I got it, now I got it, now it doesn't work. Then another one comes and gives you another one, now I got it, now. And from day to day, as a beggar in life, you don't get ahead. You still are a beggar. No matter what the world offers you, you will always be a beggar in the street, because the only one that can take care of you is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is the one that gives you mercy. So, it's Jesus said, go. He said, your faith has healed you. Whose faith? His faith. Your faith. His faith. There was something inside of him that caused him to believe that Jesus was able to heal him. And he said, that's exactly right. Go in, your faith has made you whole. You're fine. And so when you come to Christ with that attitude, where you're willing to leave the cloak behind, and when you're tired of things being offered to you that don't amount to anything except frustration, and you make a determination before God, he'll say, it's done. Your faith. See, this is the partnership between you and God. It's not a magic thing. There is a whole process of understanding that you say God is the only answer. And you may not know theological depth to this thing. You don't need to. All you need to know is that you're a beggar and blind and need Jesus to come and touch you. That things are not working out for you and that you need his mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. And immediately, scripture says, immediately. Didn't take 2 weeks or a month. Immediately, he received his sight. He received his sight. He was cured. The blind now could see. And then, what did he do? He said, hallelujah, I'm now going to have a blast in the world. I'm going to go get drunk again with my buddies. No? You know what he said? And followed Jesus along the road. And you got to follow Jesus on the road. You can't be washy-wishy or wishy-washy. You get it. You can't have it both ways. You either serve God all the way or you don't, because halfway don't count. And some of you are really frustrated in life because you want to, but you don't want to. You say, well, maybe I can live this way. One eye, Christian. Both eyes need to be open. You cannot, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. A couple of things. Bartimaeus was persistent. You notice that? He was calling, Son of David, have mercy on me. Another verse says they told him, shut up, be quiet. But he didn't shut up. He kept on insisting. But as he was insisting to get the attention of God because he needed mercy. There was nothing that he had within himself that qualified him to get any kind of a miracle or sign or wonder, except he pleaded mercy. Have mercy of me. And you don't need anything except your call to him and say, have mercy on me. Good grief. Have mercy on my marriage. Have mercy on my children. Have mercy on my job. Have mercy in my life. Have mercy. And then the devil said, oh, why do you need mercy? You don't deserve anything. And that's exactly right. You don't deserve anything, but God's mercy is for you. And the Lord overrules all those things and he shows you mercy. He was persistent. Notice also that Jesus' response was immediate. He recognized the agony and the call in his heart. And he didn't say, well, I'll think about it. Maybe next week I'll do something with you. He immediately addressed the need. And he will immediately address your need. In your heart, you say, Lord, have mercy. In your heart, you call out to God, I need mercy, Lord. And he will immediately address you. But wait a minute. This man also knew exactly what he wanted. He didn't say, well, God, I kind of like I need a blessing of some sort. He immediately said, this is my area. This is my need. Some of you may need to say, I need God to forgive my sins. I need to be saved. I need to give my heart to him. Have mercy on me, Lord. Maybe you've come to church, and yet you don't fit because there's something inside of you that's not just set right. So you need to say, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, I can't. I don't understand this, Lord. I need to get saved. He needed to get saved. All I can tell you is that Jesus wanted him to tell him what he needed. And you need to tell him what you need to receive mercy. And also, you notice that Bartimaeus had faith. So it was not just, I go back to this magic wand. Some people say, I'm going to come to Christ. So, okay, Lord, do your thing. Yeah. Do your thing. What do you mean, do your thing? What do you mean, do your thing? But I torture myself sometimes listening to some messages that come through television. And I stop listening to so many of them because it is so manipulative. And I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm just making an assessment, another word. Oh, boy. My time is up. On time. But at the end of the whole thing, I just want you to know, Jesus touched him and made him whole. Okay? He made him whole. So this morning, the Lord wants to show you mercy. But wait a minute. After you receive mercy, you follow the Lord like this man did, Bartimaeus, and follow Jesus along the road. You must follow the Lord in the road that he puts before you. And you know how you follow the Lord? By showing mercy to others. That's why this is a beautiful beatitude. That when you're merciful to others, you, the Lord will have mercy on you. And it all began with the Lord having mercy on you because he loved you. And now that you belong to him and you're in his kingdom, you show mercy to others. And let me tell you that along your way, you who are merciful to others, you will also need mercy. And it will be there for you. It will be there for you. How many want more mercy from the Lord? Oh, gosh. Yeah. You know, when Jesus was working with his disciples, and there was this issue going on, and the disciples said, shall we burn them up all? Let's burn them all up. Fire from heaven and burn them up. And Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're in. He said, no. Sometimes, you know, we get frustrated with people around us and situations, but look, you and I need mercy from God. None of us are perfect, because at moments what we want to say, burn them. Like that lady who said, I don't want my husband to die, I just want him to go see Jesus. You know how that goes. But we need mercy. Should be part of our deployment, should be part of our process. That instead of judging and killing and condemning, we show mercy. So we share the plate of food, and figuratively speaking, or maybe even actually doing it. Spending time with people, showing kindness, showing mercy. Wow, what a wonderful kingdom we're in. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Everything imaginable that you need comes. You're seeking his kingdom, how God does his business. And part of God's business is to show mercy. So you show mercy. You've entered into the kingdom. You're reigning with Christ. The resources of heaven are there. Nothing can stop you. Nothing can slow you down. Ha! Talk about that snow machine. Woo. Everything cleared the path. That's God's kingdom going before you. The Lord is working in your life. All of a sudden, my goodness, I really love my husband more. Oh, I think my wife is just absolutely wonderful. Never thought of that. Oh, my parents, you know, they were a pain, but somehow, some way, I kind of like them now. And the parents say, you know, I got great kids. I say, what did I just say? God's kingdom, because you show mercy. You come to church and there's certain people that, you know, yeah, I like them, but, you know, yeah. All of a sudden, you become best friends. So what happened to me? You showed mercy. You're walking in God's kingdom. It's no longer your own motor or your own strength, but it's God's strength and God's kingdom making itself alive in tangible ways. So it's not an illusionary, strange, weird, I'm in the kingdom. No, you actually activate the kingdom by showing mercy. I'm sorry, I went a few more minutes, but couldn't resist. Some of us need to show more mercy. How many have received mercy? Amen. Then you need to show more mercy. And don't play with God, because God doesn't play with you. That's my last word. Lord, I thank you this Sunday morning because you do bless us, Lord, and you do keep us, Lord. And your face does shine upon us, Lord, and you are gracious to us, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you lift your face towards us. I thank you that you give us peace. So, Lord, as we continue through this week, help us to be merciful. Not because we will need mercy, but to be merciful because we need to be merciful. And because it is an expression of the work you've done in our hearts. We pray that way in Jesus' name. Amen, Lord, and amen.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart.
Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. All right. You stayed longer than usual. So thank you for your understanding. All right. So this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Those of you who are going to be baptized, we got a class with Andy coming up. So you need to go there. But the rest of us, we're dismissed as we lift our hands and say, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like to see the service with the worship time included, please visit our Facebook page. If you would like more information about our church, you can check out our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.